Mitchell and Langer on the line of scrimmage coming from either side to try to block the kick. Auburn trying to go after it. Here's a snap. They got it. Block kick. Ball's back to the 25. Picked up on the bounce at the 25-yard line. And in for a touchdown is David Langer. Mitchell on the left, and Auburn is again going after the kick, as you might imagine. Greg Gant standing on his own 30. Auburn will try to block it. Auburn going after it. Here's a good snap. It is blocked.
Things first. Fourth and goal at a half a yard. Jackson! Touchdown!
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25. Cuts it inside. 30. 35. 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50. To the 40. To the 30. To the 20. To the 15. 10. Go crazy, Cadillac! Go crazy! Touchdown!
Welcome to Tiger Talk Overtime. Your chance to talk anything and everything Auburn. Join the conversation at 343-0106. Now, here's your host, Doug Holton.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome in to Tiger Talk Overtime. This week, the Tigers head to the Swamp in a key SEC battle. Both teams unbeaten and untied, 5-0, and of course 2-0 in the SEC. It'll be a noisy environment again for Auburn, and a place many of the Tiger players haven't experienced yet, the Swamp. As you may have heard by now, it's CBS, it's 2:30, it's the game of the week, Saturday. This week, Coach Gus Malzahn talked about the Gators, a team on the rebound with Coach Dan Mullen at the helm, and a coach that Malzahn has a history with, a good history, lots of respect between the two of them.
Yeah. You know, Dan's a class guy. You know, that's what I really remember, and, you know, really enjoyed getting to know him. And like I said, our paths crossed, and of course we faced each other numerous times, and I've got a lot of respect for Dan, the way he goes about it. You know, I think he's one of the good guys and does things right. His teams are always well prepared, and you know, he's a very good football coach.
And this week could be a battle of offensive minds. Two strong defensive fronts, two young quarterbacks, and a lot of pressure on both offensive lines to produce. Coach Malzahn also talked about being at the helm again, calling the Tiger plays this season. How important is it? What will it mean Saturday? Well, Gus downplayed his significance, saying it's not about him, but it's about the team.
You know, I think each week you just you try to give your guys the best chance of being successful with what you're going to face. And I think really our guys deserve all the credit. I mean, the standpoint that they are executing what's called against some good defenses. And so it makes it easy to call plays. We've got some excellent coaches that help me. I mean, Kenny Dillingham's done a super job, you know, with Bo, you know, and just does a great job. Cody Burns, my, you know, really one of my right-hand guys, deserves a lot of the credit. Cadillac's, you know, he's brought a lot to our team. And then J.B. Grimes with our offensive line. You know, I've said this before, he's a great teacher, and those guys are responding well. And then Larry Porter's doing a good job with our H-back. So it's a real team effort as far as that goes.
The topic of tempo came up Tuesday as well. Malzahn, the mastermind behind speeding up the game, but now the game has changed because of it. Nearly everyone runs fast at one time or another, even those across state. But it's a different day, one where you have to pick your spots to be aggressive.
You got to pick and choose your times to put the hammer down. You got to pick and choose your times to kind of let up a little bit and make sure you're in a solid play and you've got everything organized with that. But it is a different day. It was a lot of fun 10 years ago, you know, when everybody was griping about it and all that stuff. And right now everybody's doing it, and defense are a little more used to it than they were. You know, I think more than anything, it's about what your quarterback is comfortable with. You know, there's a lot of different coaches and myself, oh, I like this, but it's all about your quarterback, what he feels comfortable with, what he can execute, what your players can execute around him. So it's more of that than it is just drawing up some new plays just because they're cool. You know, it's you're trying to do things that you can be effective, that you can execute versus all the different looks, you know. So I think that's probably the biggest factor of what we're trying to do.
As always with the Tigers, pressure up front with the defense is key. The Florida Gators now sporting a new quarterback in Kyle Trask. Not a lot of experience, but he's done a nice job so far keeping the Gators in step, throwing quick hitters, and staying in rhythm. Auburn's Marlon Davidson has been a major disruptor this season, and he plans on that getting even better at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium this weekend.
You go in film and you look at the start to it, you know, of the pressure. I feel like, you know, we can do a lot of that by cleaning up our technique with our stance. Just more about finishing our move faster or just finishing, you know. I missed 2 sacks last week against Mississippi State, and, you know, and that there, it kind of crushed me when I'm watching on film. You know, if I would just took a extra step here, I would have got there. You know what I mean? Just the fundamental part of the game, you know, I feel like we can clean up that. I feel like we'll finish on the quarterback more often.
On the offensive side could be even a bigger factor. Auburn's offensive line must at least hold their own with the Gator defensive front. This will be a major challenge Saturday with Florida's talent and quickness, but Tigers offensive lineman Jack Driscoll thinks they are ready to roll, and he talked about the Gators' ability on defense.
We've played some good fronts, but I would say this one, you know, I think they lead statistically almost every category in the country. You know, I think especially for their ends, I can say they're very athletic. They love to get upfield. They're good at rushing the passer. I know one of their guys has been out the last couple weeks, but expecting to be back. But, no, they're really good athletically. They're disciplined and they're well coached. So, you know, Coach Mel's on hand in the head. We're going to have to play our best game and to give Bo a chance, you know, to throw the ball downfield as well to make plays in the running game.
And finally, the game is even bigger for those from the Sunshine State, including Auburn safety Jeremiah Denson. Denson has been the leading tackler as of late for Auburn, pulling in honors along the way. The senior from Miami says he was very close to picking Florida as his school, picked Auburn instead, and talked about what this weekend means to him.
It didn't mean a lot to me. I was just talking about, like, my freshman year, I was just talking about, you know, just playing the Florida team. And, you know, that's what we're doing this week. We're going down there and play Florida in a real tough environment. The Swamp is real tough down there to play. But it's going to be fun. I know some players on that team. And it's just going to be a fun game this week.
And the thoughts of Jeremiah Denson about the Auburn-Florida ball game coming up this weekend. Should be an outstanding game. And Jeremiah and the Auburn defense should play a major factor and the Tigers' success in that ball game. So we'll keep you up to date. Again, the ball game coming up at 2:30 on CBS Saturday. You can hear the pregame right here on FM Talk 106.5, starting at 11:30 Saturday morning. It should be a great pregame to tune in to. We mentioned Jeremiah Denson, and also you heard from Jack Driscoll. We want to mention the senior offensive lineman for the Tigers is a semifinalist for the National Football Foundation's Campbell Trophy, recognizing the best football scholar athlete in the nation for his combined academic success, football performance, and exemplary leadership. So congratulations to Jack Driscoll for that honor, and we hope that he gets that one. We'll be following that throughout the season. The Tigers and the Florida Gators coming up in the Swamp. The Auburn Tigers remain at number 7 in both polls this week, the AP and the coaches poll. And the Florida Gators coming into the ball game at number 10 in the AP and number 8 in the coaches poll. Should be an outstanding ball game Saturday, and a lot of people look forward to this one in Gainesville and Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. Auburn leads the all-time series with the Florida Gators 43-38 and 2 ties. And as you heard perhaps in Tiger Talk earlier tonight, it's been a while since the Auburn Tigers and the Florida Gators have gotten together. The last result, Auburn 17 and Florida 6. That was way back in 2011. The Gators lead the series, by the way, in Gainesville, 23-9 is the count there. When we come back on Tiger Talk in just a little bit, we've got a great show planned for you tonight. We will hear from the former Auburn quarterback, Stan White, and visit with him just a little bit about the Auburn-Florida game coming up and about his experience in the Auburn-Florida matchup, and also about Bo Nix, the true freshman quarterback who is continuing to improve. A great ball game last week against Mississippi State at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Hope you were there for that one, as Nix and the receivers really seem to perfect their timing and hook up for a number of nice passes and touchdown passes. So we'll be talking more to Stan White, the color analyst for the Auburn Network about that coming up after the break. Hope you can stay with us. Our phone number here, 343-0106. Tiger Talk Overtime. We'll be back with more in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us. We'd like your phone calls tonight. Tell us how you feel about Auburn and Florida. Right back after this.
Tiger Talk OT continues. Share your thoughts at 343-0106. Now your host, Doug.
The former Auburn Tigers quarterback and now member of the Auburn Network, the color analyst for the Tigers, Stan White is with us tonight. Stan, great to have you with us this evening.
Great to be here, guys.
Let's talk about the big game this weekend. Doesn't get much bigger than this. At Florida, the Swamp for the Auburn Tigers. Both teams undefeated overall and in the conference. And tell us about this one, fan. How excited do you feel the Auburn fan base is right now about this ball game?
Well, I would say extremely excited. They've already gone through playing two top 15 teams on the road, one being a neutral site game, but still an Oregon team that I think has yet to give up a touchdown since that Auburn game. And so another top 10 matchup. And so, I think the Auburn fans are feeling good and they're confident, but, they know that this is going to be a very, very tough and raucous atmosphere down in Gainesville on Saturday afternoon. So they'll have to be at their very best on in all phases of the game to have a chance to win this one.
Right. Sounds like an old Coach Dye line.
Well, learn from him a little bit. So, but it has been. The defense has played really, really well and played a high level most of the year. And offense really had a good game. And so special teams has really come on and done better and better of late too. So they're playing good, but you're going against a Florida team that's got a really good defense as well, and they're playing well with a very efficient quarterback in Trask.
What kind of game do you expect on Saturday? Both, as you mentioned, very strong up front defensively. Do you see a low scoring ball game in the Swamp?
Well, I mean, if you rely on defenses, both defenses obviously are the team's strengths. So you would say conventional wisdom will tell you, yes, it may be one of those slugfests where, the first team to get close to 30 is possibly going to win. But, Auburn has started the first two or three games, they started really slow offensively. But the last few games, they've really started fast, especially when they got into SEC play. So I think that's the key for Auburn offensively, is to try to keep that momentum going in the first quarter that they've done a good job of at A&M and then at Mississippi State. So, each game will unfold the same different way. But clearly I think both teams rely on their defenses to dictate the pace and also to, obviously to keep them in games if their offense is struggling a little bit.
Yeah, I know Coach Malzahn and every coach really talks about, getting better from week to week, and Auburn seems to have done that this year. A great game last week against Mississippi State. It couldn't have gone much better from the very start.
Yeah, when you score in your first five drives, you score 35 points, I think that's a pretty good start. So, they really hit their stride on offense and the passing game, and of course the rushing game. Their very first play was a 30-yard touchdown run, and so they really had a good offensive game plan and they executed it and they opened it up. And you really, for the first time, really at A&M, but specifically Mississippi State, was the first time they had every receiver back that was close to 100%, meaning Anthony Schwartz, Seth Williams, company. And so you saw Bo Nix really spread the ball around a lot. It was a good offensive day when your quarterback has more rushing yards than the opposing team's running back, who happened to be leading the SEC in rushing going into that game.
And that's the thing I was going to ask you about with the receivers watching the game last week from the press box. The one thing that sticks out to you is Bo Nix and the timing with the receivers. It finally came last week. Some perfect passes and touchdown passes, it all seemed to fall together.
Well, it did, and it wasn't just any one receiver. There were several receivers that caught balls, whether it be Sal Canella, Eli Stove, Will Hastings, and of course Seth Williams had a big night, and Anthony Schwartz is the guy that can be that threat on the jet and also with the deep ball. And so He spread the ball around really nicely, and he controlled the game, and didn't. You know, one thing that's been impressive about Bo Nix is that, you know, he threw those two picks early in the season against Oregon, and then he's done a great job of with ball security and not getting too greedy. And sometimes younger quarterbacks, myself included, when I was starting as a freshman, I thought I could make every throw, and it sometimes comes back to bite you. And he's done a good job of taking that sack or maybe that 1 yard gain and coming back and trying to get the next play, as opposed to trying to throw the ball into too much coverage and causing a pick.
Yeah, I guess the one thing we learn about Bo Nix, Dan, is that what Coach Malzahn says, the moment's not too big. He goes to Oregon, or neutral site against Oregon, goes to A&M last week against Mississippi State in the SEC, and this week against Florida in the Swamp. The games keep getting bigger, but he seems to be right there and ready for this.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. He's a true freshman. He's a 19-year-old true freshman, so he's a little bit older in that respect. But he's also, I mean, he's mature mentally because, you know, he's had that upbringing with his dad and his grandfather, even being a longtime coach. And so, he's going to have his moments of growing pains, there's no doubt. But I don't think a moment – and in every moment now that he gets into, if Auburn were to keep winning – will be bigger and bigger. There's no question.
Yeah.
But I don't think that there's a moment that will be too big for him. If Auburn were to drop a game or two, then they very well could drop two or three games. I don't think it'll be because the moment was too big for their young quarterback. It'll just be because the other team, you know, outplayed Auburn or whatever. But right now, Auburn's playing at a high level, and he is as well. And so it's exciting to watch him play.
I know that he relies on his dad quite a bit. Maybe they talk during the week. I don't know how much they talk, but of course everybody remembers Patrick coming in for you in the Alabama-Auburn game, throwing the touchdown pass to Frank Sanders. But how much do you communicate with Bo during the week? Does he come to you for advice, or do you all talk back and forth at all?
No, you know, I typically see Patrick, or we'll have a quick text, or I'll see him after the game usually and have a good 10-minute talk with him and got a chance to visit with Patrick's dad last week, which was good to catch up with him. And I met Bo for the first time actually at a quarterback camp in Auburn this past June or July, and got a chance to really catch up with him. And just a great young man. And if he ever, you know, wants to ask me, I'm obviously open to it. But he's got a lot of really qualified teachers that's near him, more so than I am. But he's a great young man. I'm proud for he and his dad, and just hopefully he can keep that thing going and go down to the Gainesville and have a good outing.
Yeah, Auburn getting into the off week would be great, undefeated. Talk about your experience, Dan, in the Swamp in Gainesville. What do you remember most about heading down there and playing in Gainesville?
Well, I tell you, the two memories I have are not great ones because they were losses. But with that being said, I think that it's a shame that Auburn and Florida is not playing on more of a regular basis. This is two teams that I don't have it in front of me. I know Auburn has a 5-game lead in the series, but they played over 80 times, I believe, and all the way up to 2002 was a yearly thing. And then when the league split, they were the victim of splitting up and not playing as much. But with that being said, I remember going my freshman year and when I was the starting quarterback, we were number 3 in the nation, and we go down and play this Florida team that was really not on the radar as much because this Steve Spurrier guy was really his second year coaching. And
right.
And sure enough, they proceeded to put it on us pretty good. And so that was kind of his coming to Earth party or whatever, where he was going to be a national figure in the college game. And of course in Auburn we've got greater memories. You know, 93 year was a great comeback and we beat them there, and that was kind of got us on the radar in 93 for that undefeated season. So that series has been a really, really special one for a lot of Florida players and Auburn players, and it's just a shame that it's been 8 years since the last time and 12 years since the last time Auburn's been to Gainesville.
All right, the thoughts of Stan White, our interview that we recorded just a bit earlier, and Great to hear the former Auburn quarterback, now a member of the Auburn Network, talking about this ball game coming up Saturday in Gainesville and the rivalry in general. Of course, we remember Stan White in 1993 in the Alabama game when he was injured. Patrick Nix came in to throw the touchdown pass to Frank Sanders, and now Bo Nix heading into Gainesville, as his dad did 25 years ago this year, the Nix to Sanders pass in the Florida game, not in the Alabama game, but in the Florida game. And we're going to reminisce about that in just a little bit as the Tigers get ready to go for to Gainesville for the first time in quite a while. Auburn 17 and Florida 6, the last time that they met back in 2011. When we come back, we want to open up the phone lines for you. Call us and let us know what you think about Auburn this year. Are you excited now that they're 5-0, 2-0 in the SEC? We want to hear from you. 343-0106 is our number here on Tiger Talk Overtime. We'll reminisce about Nix to Sanders and take your phone calls when we come back on Tiger Talk Overtime in just a minute.
Tiger Talk OT continues. Share your thoughts at 343-0106. Now your host, Doug Holton.
And welcome back to the show, everyone. Tiger Talk Overtime on this Thursday night. Glad you're with us as we get ready for Auburn and Florida in the Swamp at 2:30 on Saturday afternoon. Good to hear Dalton Orwick talking there about his show, Sports Night. If you haven't caught it, you want to do that Monday nights here on FM Talk 106.5. I caught him and Corey LeBounty talking about the polls the other night, and we'll get Dalton on to talk about perhaps next week in the off week. When we went to break, we were talking about the Auburn-Florida matchup. 25 years ago this year, it was Patrick Nix, Bo's dad, to Frank Sanders in the end zone for the game winner against the Florida Gators. One of the more historic moments in this rivalry that has taken a break, but we're glad it's back. And right now we want to reminisce about 1994. Let's listen in before we take your phone calls at 343-0106.
Nix again with 36 seconds left. Ball at the left hash mark. Two wide outs to the right, one to the left. Florida's got the big rush on Nix. He floats one in the end zone. It is caught! Touchdown, Auburn! Sanders caught it! Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Frank Sanders from Nix. Auburn's ahead! Auburn's ahead! Touchdown of 8 yards! Nix to Sanders! Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Auburn has done it again! An unbelievable comeback with 30 seconds to go! They're up 35-33. They've caught lightning in a bottle. 30 seconds left. Touchdown, Nix to Sanders. We all remember that famous combination from last year. And Auburn, unbelievably, off another interception, has scored a touchdown with no timeouts left. And they've gone ahead of Florida by two.
All right, great to hear the exciting voice of Jim Fife, legendary voice of Jim Fife, on the Auburn Network as the Auburn Tigers went on to win that one in 1994 against the Florida Gators. Nix to Sanders, one of the two great plays by that quarterback and receiver combination at Auburn. Well, actually, there were more than two, but those were the famous ones that everybody remembers. We want to hear your phone calls. 343-0106 is our number here at Tiger Talk Overtime. We'd love to know your thoughts and hear what you think about the game coming up Saturday. Let's go to the phone lines right now and see who we have. A couple of callers hanging on the line. Phil, let's see who's on the line here. Good evening. You're on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Hey, Doug. It's Randy Bergen. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, Randy. How are you?
Man, I'm doing good. I was actually coming back from Biloxi. I was over there doing a little work for our show, Top Golf. Just opened up over the Beau Rivage, and we were over there going through the simulators, and not only could you do golf, you could do baseball, you could do hockey, but you could also do football. So wow. On the way home, I picked up your show and thought I would just call in. I always do a good job with your new show. And question I've got for you.
Do they have us on the simulator over there?
Oh, yeah, they got quite a few. It is really, really neat. And we're going to be doing some shows from over there, but we'll talk more about that on Sunday in our show. But
yeah.
The question I've got for you is, what is Auburn going to have to do? What's the key to winning in the Swamp? Because you know that's one of the tough places to get a win.
Absolutely is, Randy. And, of course, people want to listen into your show on Sundays, what, 11 to 1, right?
That is correct.
And I think the key to victory for Auburn, it's not any big secret, but I think always a key on the road is getting off to a quick start like they did against Mississippi State last week. Maybe getting some turnovers, some short fields, putting some points on the board against the Gators early, and maybe taking some of that crowd out of the ball game, at least for the rest of the first half. And also, a lot of people pointing toward the Florida offensive line. Can they handle the pressure that the Auburn defensive front is going to put on them and their young quarterback Saturday? So those, to me, are the two things that stick out for the Auburn Tigers heading into this weekend.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, it's going to be a tough place to be, and you got to get that crowd of it out of it as quick as you possibly can. All right, hey, man, keep up. I know you got some more phone calls, so keep up the good work.
I appreciate it, Randy. Enjoy that bye week.
We will.
All right, Randy Bergen. He's on the air Sundays at 11 to 1 here on FM Talk 106.5. Appreciate him calling in tonight. Another caller on the line here as we continue along on Tiger Talk Overtime on this Thursday evening. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, I was just wondering, as far as our defense goes, how our defensive backs have improved over the last couple of weeks, and are we improved enough to handle Trask and his wide receivers?
Yes, I think so. You're talking about the Auburn defensive backs?
Yes.
I think so. I was impressed last week, although Mississippi State didn't have the greatest passing game in the world with their quarterback, Schrader. He was more of a running quarterback than a passing quarterback. But I thought the Auburn defensive backs made some improvements last week and covered pretty well. The game before at Texas A&M was a little bit scary in the fourth quarter. But, yes, I think they're making some improvements. And I was impressed last week, and especially impressed with the young linebackers, the guys that are coming on. There were K.J. Britt and his comrades in the linebacking core. They seem to be picking up the coverage as well as the aggressive part of playing linebacker. So that should be a big key. I think their coverage on the tight ends and the running backs is improving too. So Auburn improving all the way around, and the defensive front should be very strong Saturday.
Sounds great.
All right. Appreciate your call. And we move along on Tiger Talk Overtime on this Thursday night. And we invite your phone calls here as we move toward Florida and Auburn coming up Saturday. We are continuing to take your calls at 343-0106. If you have a question for us, the Tigers looking forward to this one. It's an awfully big game, as we mentioned. Number 7 in the AP, number 7 in the coaches' poll, and the Florida Gators ranked number 10 and number 8 in the coaches' poll. And what are we doing, Phil? We're going to do that? Okay, you can do that, and we'll keep it going here. The Tigers, of course, as we mentioned, undefeated in this 2019 campaign. They have a win over Oregon, as Stan White mentioned, that the final was 27-21 in the opener down in Texas. And as Stan mentioned in that interview tonight, the Oregon defense has played pretty well since then. So the Tigers offense kind of stumbled in the first half of play, but they came on in the latter part of that ball game, and Oregon has proved to be a pretty good ball club, as Coach Gus Malzahn mentioned that they would be. Then the next couple of games, of course, Tulane 24-6, Kent State 55-16, those two in Jordan-Hare Stadium. The Tigers went on the road to get the victory against Texas A&M and the Aggies, and that was quite a victory for Auburn. And then last week, of course, Mississippi State 56-23, a ball game that really no one was expecting the Tigers to win that handily, but they did last week. And hopefully things will continue along in Gainesville this weekend. Looking forward to the ball game. Joining us now on the phones, a guy that we've had on before, a very familiar voice. Brent Betzel is with us, the assistant coach at Spanish Fort High School and former player and coach for the Auburn Tigers. Brent, good evening.
Hey, Doug. Good to be back on with you, man. I'm looking forward to this weekend's game, Florida and Auburn. It's a rivalry that back in the 80s was something that was very special, and now all of a sudden we're back at it again. I hope it gets on the schedule more often.
Yeah, so we were talking about that earlier, a game that back in the 80s, I guess when you were there, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. You know, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, part of the old Amen Corner, people talk about the Auburn schedule this year and how tough it is, but boy, when you look back, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, Florida State, Tennessee, that was a pretty hectic schedule there from the midway point toward the end of the schedule.
Well, you know what's interesting about this week's game? It harkens back to the 1988 season when we were there at Auburn. They scheduled Auburn for homecoming this week, apparently. And back in 1988, I can tell you a quick story. We get to Gainesville, and we go and do our walkthrough at the stadium that afternoon, Friday afternoon before the game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And Coach Dye didn't tell us all week that they had scheduled us for homecoming. Well, we go and we get off the bus, go to the stadium, and we see them. They have a stage set up for this thing called Gator Growl, which is what they have prior to the homecoming game on Friday night. And so after we got done with walkthrough, he pulls us all up and he says, "Boys, I guess you can tell they got a little party happening tonight here. We are their homecoming date.
Oh my goodness,
this year." And boy, that you could have heard a pin drop. I mean, teeth were gritting. I mean, because back in the 80s, and I don't know so much as it is now, but back then, you only scheduled cupcakes, you know, for homecoming. It was a slap in the face to be the homecoming date for a team. And so they scheduled the Auburn Tigers in their same conference as their homecoming game for that year. And we promptly went out there, and I believe the score was 26-0 or 16-0. I can't remember the exact score. You may have to look that one up. But we beat them pretty handily. They didn't score. I know that. They were zero. That was Tracy Rocker and all those guys.
Oh yeah.
You know, on the defensive front, much like what we've got this year with the front that we got. And I think that's going to be the key to the game.
I think so. A lot of people were talking about that. Coach Dye didn't have much of a pregame talk that day, did he?
You know what's funny about that deal is the last time Auburn had won at Gainesville in the Swamp was 1972 up to that year. And he never let a lady speak to the team until the night before this particular game. We had our meal, and we had after the meal, we always had a speaker come in and speak to us. And a lady from California, I couldn't tell you her name right now, but she came in and spoke to the team. And we all thought that because of that, we the reason we beat them so bad. But I remember Coach Dye saying, you know, "I don't ever let this happen, but I'm going to bring a lady in here that's got more guts than all y'all got." And she's going to come in here and get y'all ready for tomorrow afternoon's game. But that was the one thing I remember about that was the Gator Growl and a lady speaking to the team.
Wow.
And she did a heck of a job, apparently, because we went out there and beat them, shut them out.
So, hey, great story. Let's visit some more about Auburn and Florida. We got to take a break right now. We'll be back in a couple seconds. A little bit more with Brent Betzel, and we'll close it out. Your phone calls at 343-0106 when we come back.
Tiger Talk OT continues. Share your thoughts at 343-0106. Now your host, Doug Holton.
And welcome back into Tiger Talk Overtime, everybody. We invite your phone calls here, 343-0106. As we near the Saturday showdown in Gainesville between Florida and Auburn, Brent Betzel is with us on the phone lines as we close it out with a final segment here. And Brent, you were telling us a great story about the Auburn-Florida game. And when you were there, we played the Knicks to Sanders in 1994. That's a historic moment. And I guess a lot of people remember where they were when that happened. Do you remember where you were?
You know, I remember the call. I remember the game. I was coaching somewhere around the country. I'm not exactly where, but I remember hearing the call and watching the game. Sure do. It was a great play, and back in that left corner of the end zone, I believe, where it happened, wasn't it?
It was. I watched it several times this week. Patrick Nix fading back and throwing it up in the air. Two receivers on Frank Sanders, and he comes down with a football.
Yeah, well, you and I tried to get Patrick to come on this week and talk about that moment, and as y'all can imagine, he's being just inundated with people wanting to do interviews with him now that Bo's doing so well, and the connection between that play in 1994, 25 years ago, to his son being the starting quarterback now, and he just said he could not do it. Plus, he's a head coach of a football team himself, and that keeps you busy enough.
Got a little work
in its own right.
Yeah. What do you think about? I was just thinking while you were talking about Patrick. What do you think of his future? He's a high school football coach right now. Do you think he can, at some point, jumps to the next level?
Well, you know, he's done that before, been there, done that, and I think he's happy doing what he's doing. Talking to him, he was in Scottsboro for a little while at Scottsboro High School, and now up at. What's the name of the not Pleasant Grove? What's the name of the school he's at up there in Birmingham? I just went blank. But
Pinson Valley.
Pinson Valley, right? He's up there and enjoys that area of the state, close to he's from Etowah area, so close to home. But I don't think he's probably like me. I mean, when you've been there and you've done it, it's not that alluring of a thing unless you just get a can't miss. Situation where somebody offers you money that you don't need to turn down or something like that, you're probably just happy where you are, to be honest.
You get tired of that recruiting trail, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're home 2 hours a week.
Yeah.
I mean, during 6 months out of the year, during football season and during recruiting, you're home 2 hours a week. That's the whole reason I got out of college coaching was because of that, and my kids were asking who I was when I walked in the door and stuff like that. But back to that game, Doug, that something that looking at some of the statistics for this season for Auburn, I think this game's going to come down to who can run the ball. Obviously, most football games do, and who can establish a run to set up the pass. And Auburn's only given up 3 rushing touchdowns this season, which is amazing.
Right.
And I think that's, where we've had 17 rushing touchdowns. And I always look at those statistics first because I think those are the telling signs of the front line. Our defensive front line is obviously not letting penetration happen, and then our offensive line is obviously opening holes up for our guys to score. But that's going to be the key is who's going to be able to establish that running game early and continue to sustain it through the second half.
Yeah, and I tell you what I think, Brent, going into this one, which plays right into your coaching profession and your expertise, is you look at the defensive fronts, are both good, and a lot of people are, the question mark is which offensive line is better. Auburn seems to have a little bit of an edge there, but when you have the defensive pressure coming on these two young quarterbacks, which coach and which young quarterback are going to handle that, and are they going to be able to throw it where the defense is blitzing or take advantage of what the defense is doing? Don't you think that's a key?
And there's no doubt that's a key, and to be able to confuse them, and that's what Coach Steele's probably going to try to do is to confuse their line. I was looking at something earlier this week about sacks. Florida has given up sacks, this year, and of course they played. And I think Auburn obviously played a lot harder schedule than Florida has, but they've given up. I want to say 14. Sacks this season is what I read. I'm trying to find it again as we're talking, but they've played a schedule that's not all that daunting, and they've already given up that many sacks. So that tells me our defensive line's got a good chance of getting in there and getting some back to the quarterback. Trask is not going to stand in there and just let them hit him either. I mean,
he's going to
move around just like Patrick.
Yeah,
I mean, just like Bo. I said Patrick, didn't I?
Patrick will probably be moving around too.
Ain't no doubt he's moving around. I tell you what, he said he's enjoying it, and I said, "Brother, I cannot understand. I couldn't fathom.
No, I can't imagine
son being the starting quarterback at that school I love so much." And he is just having the time of his life. He said.
Yeah, and I think you're right about the defensive front. A lot of people are talking about the Gators' offensive line. Can they hold up against the Auburn pressure? And I think that's going to – I think you're right. I think that's the key to the game. Auburn is going to come with – do they have to come with more than the front three or four, or do they – can they just live on that?
I think when you're going to try to confuse them, you've got to come with some different looks and slants and some some different packages where you bring a couple of different guys from different levels.
Mm-hmm.
The key to this thing too that people don't think about is our offensive line. You know, we've only given up 6 sacks this year so far.
Yeah,
going into allowed 6 sacks, and that's huge. And I think part of that's because Bo moves around so much. But I mean, heck. 6 sacks in 5 ball games, that's pretty sporty.
Yeah, for a young quarterback, he knows what to do with the ball and knows when to get rid of it, when to throw it in the dirt. And so he's very good at that. The Tigers and the Gators coming up Saturday at 2:30. We got a couple of minutes left on Tiger Talk Overtime. Our phone number is 343-0106. If you want to call us and tell us what you think quickly about the Auburn game coming up this weekend. So the Tigers' defense is a big key. And last week I was going to ask you, Brent, Mississippi State. I went to the game up there and obviously enjoyed it. It was unexpected that the Tigers would get out to that kind of lead that early. They got the short fields. They took advantage. And that would be nice again this weekend. And the other thing that stuck out to me, as I mentioned to Stan, was the timing between Nix and his receivers last week. It took a monumental jump between the Texas A&M game and the Mississippi State game.
And that's what you're going to see with a young quarterback. And you know, Coach Dye used to say this all the time. He said, when you play early as a freshman, by the time you're at the end of your freshman year, you're already a sophomore. So you're not a freshman no more. You don't have any excuses. And that's true for Bo. He's growing up quick. He's getting a lot of experience, a lot of snaps under center. And what it's going to boil down to is whether or not we can keep him on his feet and whether or not we can run the ball against Florida. And then I think Auburn's the more complete team. I really do. I think offensively, defensively, and the kicking game. It could come down to to Carson's toe to win this thing. It may be that close of a game. I don't know. It just depends on how, obviously, that's why they play the game. But
yeah.
I'm excited about it. Look forward to it. And I've got to go to a wedding right in the middle of it, though, so I'm going to have to figure out what I'm going to do about that.
You're not going to have your cell phone with you, I guess, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I remember.
Oh, yeah, I've told my buddy. He's an Alabama guy. So I said, why in the world y'all get – he said, because we got a bye week. I said, well, there you go.
Yeah. That brings back memories when you said the field goal with at the end of the game, I can't remember the year now, but the Auburn, when they beat Florida, they were number one. We kicked the field goal and Jordan Hare to beat the number one team.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's going to come down to that this week, but Coach Malzahn certainly seems happy with the punter and the field goal kicker and the complete kicking game this time.
But if it does come down to that, I think we got a guy in there who can do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think Anders is ready.
With him.
Yeah. All right, Brent. Hey, listen, appreciate you being with us. You got a big one Friday night, so good luck on that one.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We're going to play St. Paul's tomorrow night and look forward to that game as well. Big weekend of football.
It is. Thanks for being with us. And that's about all the time we have for Tiger Talk Overtime this week. Appreciate you being with us. Appreciate Stan White being with us as our guest this week. And we look forward to his broadcast at 11:30, the pregame show here on FM Talk 106.5, the game at 2:30. We'll see you next week right here on Tiger Talk Overtime.